Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland shows you how overcoming unbelief is vital in order to walk in wholeness, free from doubt and unbelief. God's will for you is to be completely free, walking in health.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you today. Oh, my, we praise and bless you, sir. And we open our hearts and we open our minds for revelation from heaven, particularly in the healing ministry of Jesus, most particularly in watching for faith, faith connection, words and power. We thank you for it. Oh, glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Our studio audience is here today. Isn't that wonderful? Let's open our Bibles. We looked at this one last week, but I want to go back to this because this is so vitally important. I've heard Brother Hagin say this. I've heard Keith Moore say this. And others that I've talked to about it and discussed it with other, Jesse Duplantis, Jerry Savelle, Gloria and I have discussed it at length because Gloria, oh my, my, she knows the healing ministry. The one thing that holds more Christian people in bondage concerning healing is not knowing whether it's His will or not. Now, Hebrews 13:8. You remember what that says? Let's look at it. Hebrews 13:8 and James chapter 1. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means there's no change. He's unchangeable. Well, of course, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father, and He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So anything He said yesterday, He is saying it today. Never changes. Ever. That's good, isn't it? All right. Let's look at this. In Matthew 8:2, behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if You will, if it's Your will, You can make me clean. Now, you see what his problem was? Man, he knew he had the power. This was no problem to him. But let's think about the man a little bit. This is not just anybody. Turn over with me to Luke 5:12. I want to show you something here. You remember Luke is a physician? And Luke will give you information that is particularly where sickness and so forth is concerned that the others didn't mention. Now, notice this. There came to pass when in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy. He's not just a leper. He's stage four. This man is moments from dying. Now, there's more to this than just if you will. This is a man that has been rejected and kicked out and made to stay away. He's sick. He's about to die. He's got these stinking, nasty sores all over him. He smells like a sewer. The clothes he's got on, no telling. I mean, see, would you even heal me? Can you see it?
Yes.
Would you even heal cast away like me? Now, watch it. Who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if he will, you will, you can make me clean. Look what the first thing Jesus did. The first thing wasn't he didn't speak to him first. He touched him first. Nobody had touched him. Now I want you to see, he fell on his face. Isn't that what it said? He wasn't kneeling. He's flat out on the ground. I can just see Jesus not bent over, on his face, looking him right in the face.
Thank you, Lord.
And touched him.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
One translation says, "Of course I will." Isn't that sweet? Love himself got down in the dirt with him. Didn't make no difference. He smelled good to him.
Amen.
Amen. He loved him and he put his hands on him. And immediately the leprosy left. Jesus can and will deliver you like Madman of Gadara? Like that. Did you ever think about that madman? One, this ruler of the darkness ruling him. But he had a legions of demons that crawling around in his body and messing with his mind and his neck and cutting himself. If there ever was any human being that Satan could have stopped him from worshiping Jesus, it would have been him. He couldn't stop it.
Amen.
Couldn't stop it. And I'm going to tell you something, sweetheart. I don't care what's going on with you. There's no demon in hell can stop you from getting born again. There's no nastiness on earth that'll keep Jesus from getting right in there with you. Just get in there with you. Glory to God. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Deliver you just that quick. Cancer gone that quick. Nowhere in the whole Bible, but particularly in the New Testament, Jesus didn't say it, no disciple said it, no apostle said it, anywhere in the whole Bible, nobody was ever turned down. No, nobody ever said you have to keep this. God's going to teach you something. He teaches with his word, not leprosy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nowhere did it say you'll have to wait a while. If it isn't in there, quit acting like it is. Woo, glory to God. I might just preach a little while here. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. I wanted you to see, once Jesus said, "I will," that settled it for all men for all time. If he ever said, "I will," to one human being, he's no respecter of persons. There's nothing you can do except not believe it. That's the only thing that stopped Jesus. Remember where he could do no mighty work? Didn't say he wouldn't. Said he couldn't in Nazareth. They didn't believe what he preached. They didn't believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, you can't receive it. All right. Now I want to show you again. Jesus' willingness. Let's go to Matthew 8. Say, "I will."
I will.
Matthew chapter 8. And Luke 7:1, Matthew 8:2, "Behold, there came a leper," no, excuse me, Matthew 8:5, Hey, notice this. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, okay, he went home again. Isn't that rich? Every time you see that now, see, it means something to your mental concept of what's going on. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. He didn't even ask him yet. I will. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Amen.
That's the Father's will.
Yes.
I will. Say, I will.
I will.
He can't change. He's saying, I will to you.
Yes.
He's saying it right now. Some of you are thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of wondering here. That's, nothing's happened. I prayed and asked him to heal me, and I didn't get anything, so I just figured it wasn't his will. That's because you didn't believe anything. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. What happened? She believed in her heart. She said, if I but touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Faith in the heart speaks with the mouth. But faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't have any faith if you don't know one way or the other whether it's God's will or not. Well, how can anybody ever find out the will of God? Here it is right here. This is God's first covenant, but the second covenant is his will and testament. Jesus is the only man wrote a will, died, raised from the dead, and probated his own will.
Amen.
And that's what this is. That's what this is. This is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And there's nothing in there that said it's not his will. Oh, you ought to be running around the couch right about now. Get up off that sick bed. You know you shouldn't have been there in the first place. You've been laying there feeling sorry for yourself in the name of Jesus. I'm getting on you because you need to quit doing that. Stop it. Get your Bible. Look up these scriptures. Get up from there. Come on, get up from there. Amen. I said get up from there. You don't need to be laying there with the flu. I rebuke the flu in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I curse it and I command it every symptom to die and come out of your body in Jesus' name. Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I got all stirred up and forgot where I was. Now, I wanted you to see again here from this Jesus' will. I will. I will come and heal him. I will. Well, no, you know, I've thought about this, and after all, you know, you're not even a Jew. I don't know. Now, wait a minute. Whoa. The man knew that. I said, he knew that. Let's look at it. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Now, don't start that unworthy business.
Right.
Now, if you're not born again, then, yeah, you're unworthy because you're a heathen. You may be religious, but that doesn't count for anything. But the moment you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Scripture says very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, 18, 19, any man, any person, you understand when the Scripture uses the word man, it's not talking about gender, it's talking about mankind, men and women both. Any person in Christ is a new creature. New creation. You were created in Christ Jesus. Now, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Do you have any concept of Jesus going to the cross, shedding His blood, going to hell and suffering more than any man before or since? He suffered it all so that the Holy Spirit could make an unworthy new creature? Ain't no way. Now, let me give you another clue about the will of God. It is ludicrous to get the idea that Jesus would promise you something in His Word that wasn't His will. Duh! But now see, that comes from religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's had a religion made out of it, from it. But it is not a religion, it's reality. Christianity is God and His family. Amen. Both in heaven and in earth. Glory to God. Amen. That's shouting ground right there. Glory to God. When you really realize you're a new creature, this whole thing belongs to you. Your family. Ooh, we're family. Hey, I'm so glad. Glory to God. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care who your mama was or your grandma or anybody else. Glory to God. God Almighty is your very own Father. And Jesus is not only your blood brother, He's your spirit twin. Because we were born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Glory to God. Hey, can you get that? Yeah. That's the same Word that raised Him from the dead, and He's no longer called the only begotten Son of God. He's called the firstborn! Yeah. The firstborn! Yeah. Hallelujah! The firstborn! Yeah. Firstborn! Yeah. Bringing many sons to glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. You can't get happy over that. Your wood's wet. You know what? If that don't set you on fire. This is the year of the Holy Ghost and fire. And this is the kind of fire we're talking about here. Now, let's go to chapter 9, verse 1. He entered into a ship. And passed over and came into His own city. Say, His own city. That would be?
Capernaum.
Yes, amen. Now, and behold, they brought unto Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Cheer up, He said. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your heart? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But now look at now, get this one. Get this one. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up your bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Amen. Now then, let's go to the book of Mark. Chapter 2. Mark 2. Now, each one of these has something that the others don't have, and we'll see what they are. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. You know, that's been there all the time. He entered into the house. Now, I saw the fact that this was his house years ago. But the Lord just had me just recently just start tracking that timeline with Capernaum and so forth, as I said earlier. Straightway, many were gathered together. Now, you know, let's change our attitude about something here, and you'll see it. This house was filled with people that wanted to be there. They're not antagonistic to him. They came there to hear him. This is in his own home. So they're not trying to interrupt him. He just said something they didn't know what to do with. All right. Many gathered together insomuch there's no room to receive them, though. Not so much about the door. And he preached the word. Now, that's something that he preached the word. Amen. He preached the word. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But these men got distracted and weren't listening. They're thinking religion now, and they're not hearing what he's saying. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. When they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they'd broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Jesus saw their faith. He saw their faith. Now, it takes faith of the four plus the man. Hey, you got the palsy, you want somebody carrying you up on top of a house in a sheet? I don't think so. Boy, he don't take me up there. He fall off that roof. He saw their faith and said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now, and we're going to take it up here tomorrow. But I want you to see something very, very vitally important. The same power that forgives heals. Not two different powers. Huh? Say it. The same
power
that forgives,
heals.
We'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.